Hi. Gay is not sin. And Jesus isn't asking the gay person to change and be straight. That's right. The Bible is in gays. So why are you? Love to always ask you. I know I'll never get an answer. Because I know all you will do is maybe quote a verse. Or you'll say, it's in the Bible. Or you'll say, God hates it. Or you'll piece together parts of a verse and you'll say how disgusting you think it is. But what you won't do is go to history and find out arsenicotes was used 76 times in 1,600 years. Paul used it in a verse. For the next 1,600 years in all the world's documentation, you could find it 76 times. So, if you're going to say Paul said gay is sin, because somehow you have a modern version, and all modern versions come after the 1880s, when Westcott and Hort put together their translation from a corrupt manuscript. They translated from Latin Vulgate into Greek, which wasn't really the proper Greek, and then they translated it back into English, and they were very influential. One of them was on the board of the Revise the Bible Committee in Church of England. Their Bible became the Church of England's official Bible. 1901 saw the first, not actually a revision, but the first bringing over to a as it were, modern English. But it wasn't until 1946 that the true modern versions began. And they all come from this official Bible of the Church of England from Westcott and Hort. But what you do is you use a Bible that says homosexuals won't inherit the kingdom of God. And you will just go to your death almost. You would, if they're going to say they're going to chop your head off, you're not going to sway from this belief. But you also won't study. You won't go to the original language and find out that only 76 times in 1,600 years was arsenicotes that Paul used that you say says homosexuals won't inherit the kingdom of God. So if it was only used 76 times that you could see in documented written history that you could find, that you could look at, then you would be able to, because you know if it's written, you can read the sentence it was in, and you can read the paragraph it's in. And you can learn a little bit about the person that wrote that word. See, documentation is pretty interesting. Literature and all this other kind of stuff. It's history. You could study it. And so you could see what did arsenicotes mean up to the 16th century. And you'll find out that any place that you can gather up and glean an understanding of the word, it generally means sex out of species. Of course, that's not what the Greek means. The Greek means a male temple prostitute, plain and simple, easy. The other verses, I mean the other documentations in history to make up the 76, by far most all of them are going to be describing sex out of species. The rest of them, you can't get anything out of the sentence or the phrase or the history of the person that wrote it, the biography, to try to gather together what particular thing that he was talking about. So you can't say he was talking about gays because there's no hint to it. There's no allusion to it. There's no anything that you can gather from the sources that is documented of the use of the word arsenicotes of 1 Corinthians 6:9. But the ones that you do get information, there's quite a few of them, of the 76, always comes out to be sex out of species and nothing at all to do with what we know as gay people. You know, you cannot define a gay person as a gang rapist, because you've got straight gang rapist. So you can't say that a word for a male gang rapist that rapes other males, you can't say this means gay is sin. Just like you can't say a gang of straight males that rape a woman or two, you can't say that that raping of the gang rape is a way to define heterosexuality. Because it's an act in heterosexuality that isn't right. In the same way, you can see a heterosexual man take out his wallet, pay a heterosexual woman for sex. You call it prostitution. You don't call it heterosexuality. Although you could say that that was a heterosexual sex kind of act, but generally speaking, heterosexual to you means you get that age, you want to date the opposite sex, you do date the opposite sex. You fall in love with the opposite sex, and then you marry the opposite sex. Live your rest of your life with them. Now, there's lots of complications. You date and you find out you don't like them. You're incompatible. You get divorced and all these kind of stuff. But this is a facet of the attempt to try and find the person that you can be with the rest of your life. So you can't actually relate, as it were, the acts of trying to find somebody but making mistakes on the way as to be some sin, although you might do a few things that seem to be, you can grasp a verse out of text and say, look it, you know, you're having too many sexual partners or something. One at a time, you're trying to find the right one and so forth. But in your own mind, you're just trying to find the person you want to marry. You know, almost from birth, that's what we're taught, you know. You're going to find the person and get married to them. Well, that finding the person is the process. And usually we don't think of finding the person as sin. Well, gays are the same way. They're looking for the person they want to be with the rest of their life. And some of that process has been contaminated by heterosexuality, saying the Bible says gay is sin. So gay people have been forced for centuries to do this finding the right person secretly. And often this means, though they may want to find somebody, they really can't, because if they're caught seeing somebody for too long, then flags go up. And they're condemned. Because you're good at condemning people. You Christians out there, you're good at condemning whatever you don't like. And you like to say that the Bible says it when it doesn't. Back to this word, arsenicodes. It doesn't say homosexual won't inherit the kingdom of God. What it says is sodomites won't inherit the kingdom of God. So what you say, well, sodomites mean gay. Sodomites doesn't mean gay. Sodomite means a male temple prostitute. Cut and dry. No, it doesn't mean a citizen of Sodom. It doesn't mean that. If you go to the Bible and you bring up every word for sodomite, which is seven, two in the old, new, and five in the old, you will not find representation of the city of Sodom. You can't get the Bible to tell you that sodomites mean citizens of Sodom. You can't get it to tell you that. The Bible will say, in some way or another, the people of Sodom, but it won't say sodomites. It'll say Hittites. So we can assume that, you know, when you're condemning 660 million people, you can't be assuming. You've got to bring forth your facts. You know, I am always going to be asking you, give to me your facts. Explain your facts so we can understand you. You're not dumb. We study. The materials that are out there are the same materials that you have access, we have access to them. You can't just say the Bible, because there's hundreds of versions of Bibles, and all modern versions come from two people, Westcott and Hort, that have a history. You can learn about these occultists, these people that hated with a passion King James Version. These people that actually created a secret society, a club called the Ghost Club, where today all the elite members of the world that wants to be part of the elite leadership of the New World Order, or what we call Antichrist Kingdom, it is a requirement to belong to this Ghost Club that Westcott created. And this same Westcott gave you your modern version. Modern versions take Christ out of Jesus to the tune of 50,000 to 80,000 corruptions, depending on the Bible. The NIV is notorious. One-eighth of the Bible is missing. Somehow or another, it got in the hands, the copyright of it, of the ASV and the NIV, to Murdoch. Hustler magazine. So a couple of the Bibles that you love dearly are copyrighted by people that have pornography. Go figure. And do you care? You don't care. You like it because it says homosexual offenders won't inherit the kingdom of God. People, if you want to say gay is sin, you need to bring out the Bible that talks about two people that have fallen in love, dated, and then lived together. And you can make adjustments for time. Because, you know, you go back 100 years, you go back 1,000 years, it's a little bit different. We look at our marriage today. Our marriage system today is based directly, specifically on pagan fertility gods and the worship of these gods. The ritual that we have of the pastor and the couple there and all the bridesmaids and so forth and the reception afterwards, these are fertility sexual rituals different from pagan gods and goddesses from about the 12th century. So many of these pagans came to Jesus around this time that they brought this custom of theirs of marriage to Christianity. Part of the custom of this marriage was this freedom of choice. You know, you could choose who you want to marry. You start dating, you know. Before, you didn't have this kind of thing. Even in Christianity. In a lot of parts of the world, and in Judaism and everything, mommy and daddy got friends with a relative at a certain distance, first, second, third, you know, and they have the set sort of principles of who you can go to, and then they would decide who in their same tribe, in their relatives, that you're going to marry. And often they decide this and discuss this, and the monetary value of it is a business deal. Before you even remember anything, you're set to marry somebody way before you aren't even learning to speak the language. People, things change, and so when you're reading the Bible, you have to understand what things mean. And if you want to condemn 660 million people to hell, and say you are doing these things, then you need to bring out the Bible that says it. And you can't bring out that every boy, every grandpa, every man, and all the people. And this word people in Hebrew means mankind. It means everybody, male and female. So you not only have all the boys and all the grandpas and all the males of two cities, you have all the people too. And they all came to Lot's house. So you're needing to explain how you get this, that these are ordinary gay people coming to Lot's house. Lot said something. He said, don't do so wickedly. Hebrew is a language. You can't just decide, well, wickedly means something, you know, often wickedly is something good. You know, it's kind of funny how we make the English language, you use something, you say, no, but you mean yes. No, you're kidding. No, you're not kidding. You tell the truth. So we're using opposites to mean what we really mean. Yes, we're saying no. No, we're saying yes. So what you, and wickedly, I mean, that's a new form of cool, or boss, or groovy if you're old like us, got gray hair. You know, going through all the changes. And now even this word is sort of, you know, the word gay, it changes a lot. Just gay people are always going to be gay. It's going to mean homosexual. That's period. That's a fact. It's not going to go away. Nobody's going to make it go away. But it used to be used mainly because, you know, gays weren't open. They weren't standing up for their rights, or no process was in place to start showing that gay is not sin or anything, so you just didn't hear about it. So gay kind of meant the funds of the roaring 20s. And some people still are hooked on 1920. Go figure. They feel so terrible that they lost this word. Well, now what do you think? Gay is not meaning gay anymore, hardly. Because all the young people now are using, oh, that's gay. It means nothing to do with sexuality. It's changing. Marriage changes. It evolves. Used to be you could easily say, well, gays can't marry, so this was a cop-out for you. You could just say, you can't get married, so you're living in fornication, which is your own hatred speaking. But the facts simply are, there's lots of countries now that there is gay marriage. Canada, there's gay marriage. United States, one state has gay marriage. Several have the same thing, basically, as gay marriage. And many states are deciding this, and the evolution of this is the trend is going towards, it's going to change in the United States, and the United States is going to come along with many other countries and become a country that legally marries gays. Now you can't say, well, gays can't get married. But you have to then say, well, the Bible defines marriage, not the law. So you kind of figure out, how can you justify your hatred of gays by trying to say, well, Jesus says the government's on his shoulders, but then now you're trying to say, no, it's not, because Jesus says marrying same sex is sin, you're going to go to hell, and so now it's the government that's evil, even though that Jesus says no matter how evil the government is, they're making laws to protect you. If you're going to go out and murder and steal and do harm to people and everything, even the worst of dictators got laws against that. The worst of dictators are still in a basic form is protecting, as it were, the way of life. But when they make a general law like marriage, you say, oh, this is Satan. You know, this is the signs of the time. Not the signs of the times in that way, people. Gay is not sin. Arsenicosis does not mean homosexuality. It means male temple prostitute. And you can go verse by verse. There's only 14 of them. Sodomites won't inherit the kingdom of God. And this verse has changed many times over the centuries. How do you get it to mean homosexuality? You have to use Greek. In the beginning, God created. What do you got? You got two people. So you have to figure out, well, were they black? Were they white? Were they Chinese? What were they? So anything else has to be sin because the Bible didn't talk about it. somehow or another you can adjust some of these other human traits, as it were, as who cares? And then you have, well, there was no pastor in those days. And there was nobody else. All you had was Adam and Eve, and then boom, they had a baby. Boom, they had another baby. Boom, they had another baby. They had quite a few babies, actually. The Bible names some of them. These babies had to grow up. Who did they date? Who did they fall in love with? Who did they get married to except each other? Whose baby did they have except each other? Today, we say this is absolutely horrible. You can't do this. This is absolutely, and we say God hates it and all this. We use all the same terminology that we hear of anybody having sex with their siblings. And if they have babies, it's all the worse. But in the beginning, this is how it was because there was nobody else. And then it evolved. And marriage evolved. It became close relatives and then distant relatives, which had to be in the same tribe. Basically, even today in Israel, you need to marry in the same tribe, although it's probably not done quite as much as it used to, but in certain sets, it is done. Christianity didn't follow the traditions of Israel in marriage. And you have all the patriarchs, they all have multitudes of wives and concubines. Concubines are something for sexual use. We have the leaders in Catholicism owning concubines way up to the 11th century. It was illegal for Christians to have mistresses and concubines up until around the 11th century. And then around the in this 11th, 12th century time period, the pagans began to take over, as it were, as they became Christian in large numbers, adjusting the process, because they're already used to meeting somebody, dating, and getting married. And so Christianity evolved to where we believe that these are our ideals from Christianity when they're actually pagan ideals. People, the verses in the Bible doesn't condemn gays. You use Leviticus, that you like to use man lies with mankind. Well, the Hebrew language, just like Greek language, the word love has a few meanings that specifically tells you what kind of love, depending on the Greek word you choose. Well, Hebrew is similar in many words. This word man, the one that was selected to be used, meant heterosexual. And not just a heterosexual, but a practicing heterosexual. So when you're in Leviticus, you're talking about a straight man, and I guarantee you they were married. They went to these fertility temples to male temple prostitutes as Moses was leading them to the promised land. And this was condemned. I'm out of time now. If you don't know Jesus, turn to him and say, Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God, and that God rose you on the third day. Forgive me of my sins and come into my life. Now ask Jesus to baptize you in the Holy Spirit. If you have a physical need, reach your hand towards the TV screen right now and touch that physical need. In the name of Jesus, be healed. See you next week. Now, put the hand on the area of sickness. Put your hand towards the screen. In the name of Jesus, be healed. See you next week. Jesus heals and heals today. Praise the Lord. You can be healed. Call on His name. Talk to Jesus. Don't fret over not getting healed. Just ask Jesus. Don't give up. Remember David? He had a baby by Uriah's wife. After he sent Uriah to die in the front lines so he can cover up the baby. Well, the baby got sick, and David cried.